Hey guys, today we got for you some really interesting things. We talk about Mike Malloy, the indestructible hobo. Also, that'll lead us into general superhumanness. Why are people so tough? We're going to talk a little bit about injuries in sports, contract law, and the dissolution of the American government. Enjoy.
Hey guys, welcome back to Thumbs Up Cast. My name is Joey, and I have with me the amazing
Rhodes. Don't introduce me like that.
You make me seem like I'm so bored. Like that.
Don't fucking introduce me at all. So
we're like we're 15 seconds in, and Yuri dropped an F-bomb.
Hey guys.
Now I have to put this as explicit because 15 seconds in.
Well, how long, if I don't say one until the very end, do you not have to put explicit?
I don't.
Can't you?
All I've done is made the job easier for you. Bleep it.
What you're going to not say for the rest?
No, just find it and bleep it if you want to be a bleep about it.
Yeah.
Today, we speak of the amazing, the magical, the mighty Michael Malloy. Also known as Mike the Durable, Iron Mike Malloy, the juggernaut of, and then it's as far as I get, Bronx, New York, 1933, deep in the Depression, a former firefighter. You know what he's most famous for?
What?
Not dying.
Oh, wow.
There's an echo in here.
Not dying Malone?
So basically, this was back in the day.
Okay.
You could just put life insurance policies on kind of anybody, but admittedly, there was also some fraud involved initially. You're only supposed to put life insurance policies on people who their death would be of such a burden to you that it could cause financial hardships, i.e., you know, your dependents and such, and
yeah,
things like that. And it's mostly meant to recover, you know, sort of balance out maybe funeral costs and other things like that. From what I understood, this particular case was the beginning of that. Before, it was kind of a little bit more willy-nilly, but the person could still agree to, like, you could just have some rando person say, yeah, this guy can have a life insurance policy on me, whatever, I don't care. And you're basically paying to murder them.
Well, like, before we get into it, it's like, dying is one of the most expensive things ever. Like, it's so expensive to die.
Everything, yeah.
Literally. Like,
there's, like, laws on, like, you can't just toss a body into the ground. Oh, I did find out. You can have a burial at sea. Any civilian can have a burial at sea. They wrap it in a special thing or something, but look it up. You can be buried at sea if you want.
Nice. I kind of want to do that.
It's like, admittedly, if you want it cheap and easy, I think you can just donate your body to science.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Most people want to put them in the ground, but it's like, on the other hand, too, it's like you're running out of space. There's billions of people. Be stingy.
What do you want?
Oh, man. Everyone to die first, mostly.
Okay. Let's hope that happens.
Oh man, my official plans are that I've spoken with people I know. It's like, just donate my body to science, you know.
Uh-huh.
Do that, you know, like, and like, don't send my ashes back or nothing. You just throw those at the homeless. If they survive, it's your reincarnation of Mike Malloy.
Oh, wow, awesome.
Yeah, what about you? What do you want to do when you die? It won't fucking matter. You'll be dead.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. It shouldn't matter. I don't know. If you believe in souls and stuff, I don't feel that a body should really...
It won't matter. I mean, I think with the... In Japan and some of those Buddhist cultures, that the state of the body, like, will affect the state of the spirit. But,
ooh, okay. That's why they mummify things.
Yeah, maybe.
Buddhify.
I don't know.
They Buddhify things.
Booty. It was Buddhorific. But basically, yeah, I don't give a shit. I want to be dead.
Okay. I would...
As a quote from one of my favorites... Can't remember his name because I don't watch the show that much. Danny DeVito in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Throw me in a ditch. Just throw my corpse in a ditch. I don't give a damn.
Burial at sea. I never thought about that, but that kind of sounds cool.
Yeah.
Swimming with Osama.
I mean, if you think about it, we're all going to be buried by sea eventually. Right?
What
the rise of the tides,
yo. I was going to say the great waves are going
to
come in.
Yeah, man. You wave right back at them. So yeah. Anyway, back to the story. Makes you feel any worse. The guy was about 59, 60 years old. That's like my mom's age. And he was an alcoholic. Things were rough. He was an Irish immigrant. It was Depression era, 1933. In the Bronx, New York. Fucking super rough.
Jeez, that's
a
really
tough time.
It just keeps adding on.
It was pretty much. They were pretty much the Mexicans at the time. We feel you, Mike the Durable, Iron Mike Malloy the Juggernaut. It also says he was a stationary engineer. Do I want to look up what that is? Did he make paper?
Stationary engineer? Oh,
he was also no, they operate industrial machinery and equipment. Oh, okay. Well, that means like, you know, yeah, factory worker.
Yeah.
But as a machinist.
Blue collar. I feel like, yeah, just calling him, what is it, like, whatever the fuck I just said, it'd be degrading. He probably, that's a skilled job.
Blue collar job.
So, was it back in the day? Back in the day, too, that's when a blue collar job was like just a few steps below a white collar job. That means you had money and skill. Obviously, he wasn't doing that, though. He was a hobo. Then... So
trash talking him, dude. Don't trash talk.
No, man, there was a whole time. Everybody was a hobo then.
He's gonna come back. And
everybody
kill you.
Was a, like, no, there was doctors, lawyers. It was a freaking depression, jackass. Everybody was a hobo. It didn't matter what your skill was.
You ever seen a Cinderella man?
You're just fucking hoboing it up.
Back in the day, that's what everyone was doing.
Yeah, man, they were just like they're walking around with a stick, handkerchief full of their goods. You know, they had a hat that was open on the top, shoes that speaked. They just went flap, flap. Back in the day. Ye olden times. It was old school. Motherfucker, I ain't talking shit. That's how it was.
Well, around what time were you talking about?
I fucking said 1933.
Like, okay.
Jesus.
The Great Depression, Jesus. 1930s.
So, all right. Now, this group that conspired to murderize him, later dubbed in the headlines the Murder Trust, was it says acquaintances. But since one of them owned a bar... I'm assuming it was just they were his bar friends. You know?
Yeah.
Those are the people in The Simpsons that don't talk to Homer. They're the ones that you said. Not Mo. Oh, yeah, Mo.
One
oh,
my God.
They could redo this shit in The fucking Simpsons. I would watch this in The Simpsons.
And then Homer just doesn't die?
Yeah. Well, I could say, what if Homer's one of the guys who does it?
No, it's Hans Homer.
Because they have like home. What is it? They have freaking hobos in there like regularly, like two guys, I swear, in The Simpsons. I haven't watched it in a while. And I really feel the guy they would kill would be Barney. It would be Barney that they'd kill, wouldn't it? Because he's, for the reason of being, you know, Iron, was it Mike Malloy? Because, all right, so just going back to it, he's unkillable, whatnot. So the guys, the criminals here, Tony Moreno. I cannot say the name without Moreno without wanting to go Colombiano. I don't know the rest of the song.
Moreno.
Joseph, quote, Red, unquote.
Me?
Murphy. Oh, yeah. Also, a Francis Pasqua. I really think that's a French name. Hershey Green. That sounds like a boxer's name.
Because it's Francis? France?
French? Maybe.
Is that why you're thinking that's a French name?
And Daniel Kreshberg. So, basically. Now, this is... I have to say this because it's literally hilarious. I'm quoting here from a Wikipedia article. These men, little dash line, deploy to destroy the unemployed Malloy. By getting him drunk, or to drink himself to death, right? Now, they had a life insurance plot. They what is it? There was a crooked, I guess, corrupt insurance agent. And they put, what is it? $3,500 insurance thingy, whatever you pay off on him. Now, that's about $66,000 by 2017 standards. That's a lot of money, but it's not enough. Is that enough money to murder
it's
somebody?
It's not enough money to murder someone.
It's a year. That's more money than I make in a year.
Well, then maybe.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we don't know what else he did in his free time.
I don't know. $66,000 can get you somewhere.
Maybe
in this.
Maybe he was just an atrocious person. He was out there just kicking kittens all day.
Yeah, maybe.
What did he do?
Eating them.
So anyway, doing Moreno Colombiano things. Owned a speakeasy. Or still, it's when I first heard the story, I thought they were all hobos. But it's like, I don't think there'd be a hobo speakeasy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
This guy would be, he gave Malloy unlimited credit. I know. I guess you didn't question that. That makes me feel like they were just being his friends. He was like an older guy, and they're like, "We'll be nice to him." And it's like, "Oh, that's just sad." So anyway, they figured he'd abuse the credit. He would just like drink himself to death. Now it's sad, although he drank for a majority of the waking day, it didn't kill him. Now, part of me says like, "Oh man, he was such a hardcore drinker." But what if it was just he was more moderate than they expected?
Yeah, he would just like take.
He was
sips.
Just like he appreciated what his friends. He didn't want to abuse the credit. So it was like he just had like a beer and just sort of nursed it all the time. Why do we got to assume that he had this iron stomach because he was just the hoboiest hobo Irishman from 1930s depression? Why does it got to be like that? What if he was just like, thank you, friends, for helping me ease my pain. I will not abuse this. So that didn't work. The free booze. So they decided Moreno then substituted Malloy's liquor with antifreeze. Now, if you know, the thing that kills you with antifreeze, I guess like it crystallizes in your gut somehow.
Uh-huh.
And you then got gut crystals. You can't live with gut crystals.
Can't.
Also,
I believe antifreeze back in the time was super sweet because I swear I remember them adding it to like wine or knockoff wines and stuff.
Are you serious?
It was supposedly delicious. So I don't know, man. It's like, how good did it taste that he was like, this is still liquor. I'm down. What if he knew? What if he knew this is antifreeze? I'm a bum. I live in the, you know, on the floor. I know what antifreeze tastes like. Screw it. I'm just going to drink it. Malloy continued to drink the antifreeze with no problems. Also, I'm wondering, I don't think antifreeze kills you right off the bat.
Yeah, maybe he just drank it all the time, so he just became immune to it.
I was gonna say that too. There's this old saying, watch the original Rocky movie. They refer to Rocky as a sterno drinking bum. That's a chemical they use to start fires. So maybe he was like, antifreeze was on the menu for him. He had an adaptation
he's
to
used
it.
He was like, thanks, man.
Also, too, it's like, they were kept expecting him to drop dead like in a cartoon, which they did have at the time, that he'd take a sip and then get X's on his eyes. But it's like, nah, man, that kills you like over the course of weeks or months.
Little birds around his head.
Exactly. And they could catch the birds and then sell them, too. They were horrible people.
Maybe put a life insurance on birds.
When the antifreeze didn't work, they decided to substitute that with turpentine. That's like fire stuff, right? It's like, it's
still
fire.
Is it cleaning? It's a cleaning thing.
Oh, it's the stuff that takes off paint. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like in a metal can. It goes, they're like super satisfying to squish. I think you could use it to take paint off like your fingers whenever you paint things, like if you're finger painting.
Oh, okay.
Now you know. Now, the next thing they said, when that didn't work, they followed that up with horse liniment. I don't know what that is. At first I thought it said ligament. I looked it up. It's basically Bengay for horses. It's got freaking, what did it say? It's got belladonna in it, first of all, which is poisonous as hell. Also, if you ever want to see like, Mrs. Stewart's, it's a brand that I think is still around, but I doubt it's got the same ingredients now. It also had methyl salicate, benzoin, methanol, and capsaicin, the only thing capsaicin that's like spiciness, whatever, and it's like it opens up your pores.
Uh-huh.
It's just meant to help open up your pores. I imagine this would burn like all hell to drink. The guy apparently downed that, no problems.
Yeah.
No problem.
He knew what he was doing.
He either knew what he was doing, or he like didn't have a sense of taste. Or maybe also you're like, you know, all that
stuff. It was God.
Then they finally mixed in rat poison to all of that. Still, the dude was alive. I was going to say fine. I'm sure he wasn't fine. It was like, everything. You know, I think you get to a point where you have so much stuff going wrong with your body that eventually it'll say, no more pain receptors for you. You're just going to die. And if they'd been more patient, he'd have died.
Isn't that a whole thing that happens?
What?
Like, I remember you were telling me about that.
Oh, yeah. They call it the last round or something. Basically, whenever somebody, especially in elder care, or they got like a lot of medical things going wrong, they'll be going downhill, feeling pain, can't move. And then one day they just feel great. And they can walk around, they can talk to their whole family, and then they die. And they said, from what I understand, the understanding of that, as far as I know, is that it's your body giving up. The pain that you feel is from your body trying to fix itself. When there's no pain, it means your body's like, nope, can't do it. And it's like, that's why you die the next day. I believe. What's the name for it? The last... Anyway, I don't care. So you know what they gave him next? You know what they gave him next to kill him?
What they gave him next to
kill him? They gave him raw oysters soaked in wood alcohol.
Nice.
Now, admittedly, wood alcohol was just methanol or methyl, but it's like, I'm pretty sure methyl or methanol was drink by pretty drunks back in the day in the Depression. Yeah.
Wasn't that bad. Nail polish now.
That's true. And vanilla extract.
And hand sanitizer.
And scope. Drinking, you know, mouth cleaning fluids and such. We should stop giving people ideas. That idea apparently came from Pasqua, the French, who claimed he saw a man die after eating oysters with whiskey. What he didn't say is like, they should have asked him, did he choke on them or like walk into traffic? What if it was just a bad oyster and not the right kind of whiskey? But it's like, I don't know. Not smart, guys.
Yeah, not smart.
Also, oysters and whiskey sound a little delicious. If you like oysters, if you like whiskey, maybe not together at the exact same time, but I could see that being a nice end to the meal. Also, they then came a sandwich of spoiled sardines, which I feel is like, that's just mean.
Yeah, that's just rude.
Also, with poison, they didn't say, and carpet tacks. That's a dick move. Malloy was fine.
Yeah, the other ones weren't. It was just that last one.
Malloy literally asked an iron freaking Malloy, the juggernaut, literally asked for another tack, poison, spoiled sardine sandwich. What the hell was this guy eating on the street? Poor freaking guy.
I know. This has just become an episode of Fear Factor.
God. So, Whenever all that fell, they decided that it was unlikely that anything they were going to feed him was going to kill him quickly enough. Again, it's like, what was the time span that, like, he needs a, you only get this much money if he dies, you know, with today. So the quote-unquote murder trust decided to freeze him to death, which is super sad because it was, like, cold in a lot of our northern states and a bunch of homeless people froze to death. Shit, that's sad. So on a night, the temperatures reached negative 14 degrees F and negative 26 circle C. It was negative 40 side. That means it wasn't even as cold as it had been recently. It was like negative 40 up in Milwaukee, and Chicago. Jeez. So basically, they let Malloy drink until he passed out. They carried him to a park, dumped him in the snow, and had 5 gallons, aka 19 liters of water, poured on his bare chest. As sad and horrible as that is, like, part of me is thinking, oh, wait, I was going to say, why not his limbs, too? No, the chest is where the reason you get frostbite in your fingers and then your hands is because your body's recirculating the blood towards your heart, to your core, to keep you alive. Oh, damn, that was actually one smart thing. Well, nevertheless, Malloy reappeared the following day for his drink because he still had credit. Good God. You know what the thing is? At that point, they'd pickled him. The liquor, he was not going to freeze outside. His body was in fucking capable of freezing. That's why he literally had antifreeze in his system. His organs punctured by tacks, thus spreading it through his body, ensuring he was now immune to the cold. Jackasses.
Oh my God. He was still alive after that.
After all of that, he just came up like, oh man, somebody peed on my chest again. Yeah. Let me just peel off my chest-sicle. Fuck you, that was funny. So the next attempt on his life came. They got the green apparently had a taxi. Moving at 45 miles per hour, 72 kilometers per time cycle, however you fancy bastards want to say it.
Bastards.
Doesn't say Brits, but it's like, nah, lots of other people use it. They put Malloy in the hospital for 3 weeks with the broken bones. Not dead.
Oh my God.
They just thought he was dead, but they were unable to collect the money on the policy because he reappeared at the bar. After they crashed him into a car going 45 miles an hour. And this is back in the... All right. You know, for a while, cars were indestructible?
Yeah.
This was before that. Oh, this was when it had, like, you know, like horse carriage wheels. I don't think... like, most cars didn't have rubber tires. I'm going to say it had wood tires, even though I had no proof of it. There were those old-timey cars where the glass they used was the same glass they used on windows.
Where they go...
Yeah, yeah. And they just rumble everywhere. Like, the Incredible Mr. Toad?
Yeah.
It was like... it was horrible. So he should be dead, but he's still alive.
But he's still alive.
He showed up the next day to his bar. Hello, fellas. How do you do? You know what part of the morning I want you to have? Hey, French fry. You know what part of the morning I want you to have? Hey, greedy. You know what part of the morning... Hey. Bartender, do you know what part of the morning I want you to have? The top of the morning to ya! Give me some booze!
Wow.
So on February 23rd, 1933. Well, again, he did pass out from drinking. They took him to Murphy's room. They put a hose in his mouth. They connected that to the gas jet. Back in the day, like, if you had heating in your house, it was heated by gas. Going to, like, a gas burnery thing.
Okay.
That radiated heat. I don't remember what it was called.
Radiator?
They turned it on. And that finally killed Malloy. His death occurring within an hour. They originally pronounced him dead of low bar pneumonia, and he was quickly buried. But despite this, they failed to divide the collected loot evenly. They all decided they had different parts of the, oh man, you know, I wrecked my whole freaking car. By this point, I have a feeling they might have spent close to the amount that they got. Think about how much he drank. Think about how much a whole car cost back in 1933. That guy lost his whole source of income. Destroyed his car. And... I don't know. Maybe that was like that dude's last sardine or something. It was mostly like a few guys. I could see where it's like some guys put no effort into it. Dude, guys, I that was gas from my room. I have to pay for that gas. Shut up. You should have had that idea sooner. I don't know why he's also Scottish, but whatever.
Scottish.
Well, anyway, the police started hearing, I'm guessing while they were doing this, you're picturing a bunch of lone guys in an alley. Apparently, it was like how they had like those 1930 Depression era cartoons. Everybody's just sort of there looking over the side, talking about it, and be like, look at that. They're just loaded Malloy into a car, set him on fire and ice at the same time. Oh, there he comes out of the... Oh, he'll be right back drinking tomorrow. He's fine. So, police heard rumors of Mike the Durable in speakeasies all over town. Because in a speakeasy, you keep a speakeasy by letting the cops drink for free. So, they decided that he... What is it? Blah, blah, blah. Speakeasy all over town. Upon learning that Michael Malloy had died that night, they had the body exhumed. They dug him up. And they re-examined him. They gave him the like, oh, you got way too many tacks in your system, buddy. You're not frozen enough. You got kinds of things. We got to go talk to those guys. Those guys that were like hanging around you those few days before you died. So anyway, all of five men put on trial, convicted. Green went to prison. The other four members sentenced to death.
Dang. So
I'm wondering if they're thinking Green was just like, you know what? Yeah, you lost your taxi. That's enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know how they died? Executed in an electric chair at Sing Sing. It was horrible. Electricity hurts. But you know what?
So does drinking antifreeze, getting taxed.
Not him. Unless you're indestructible Michael Malloy.
What an awesome dude.
He was freaking great.
He just wanted to drink, have fun.
If you want, I know you're into the musicals. The band Primus, on their album Frizzle Fry, there's an instrumental piece. What is it? No, I got it reversed. Sorry. Instrumental piece by the Spent Poets called You Can't Kill Michael Malloy. In 1993, a play was based on him. It's the name of a song in the grindcore band God, which makes me assume that you can't understand a single thing they're fucking saying. Just a bunch of stuff. Like, even the BBC did an episode on him on a series called QI, which I'm sure is pronounced totally different. A whole bunch of things. He's so well known after his death. I feel like in our hearts he lives on.
Yep.
If he hadn't died such like this, we wouldn't... Oh, no. So what do you think about that? That was fucked.
I know. I don't know how we...
Excuse my language.
Do you think he... Like, this is all true? That like, really...
You know what? You know, or you know how so they drove him into that river?
Yeah,
I'm telling you, man. Rasputin. He was Rasputin. Rasputin, like, all that... Wait, does this before or after Rasputin? No, anyway. What if there's just people, like, you know, like those superhumans, right? That we're talking about.
Yeah.
They never meet the circumstances where they're in just, like, that activates their ability or whatnot. He was a firefighter. What if that fucker was just walking through fire all the time? He's like, I'm indestructible. He was like, he wasn't even, like, unbreakable. He went into the water. He was fine. He walked out. His one weakness was literally gas.
Gas.
Or, you know, what if it was, like, a rubber hose? Like, he had some sort of rubber other thing. It's like, oh, no, this bed has lavender on it. Oh, it cancels out my ability.
He was allergic to, like, one thing in the whole world?
Yeah. Are like, you know, I'm just saying, what if they're like just people? Like, I mean, there's some people who are just very fragile. What if it's like how they say on Unbreakable? There's somebody on the opposite end of the spectrum. We have weak people and we have indestructible people.
Yeah.
You know?
That's crazy.
Like, the only thing that would have killed them is time.
Yeah. All right, man.
Caw-caw, caw-caw.
Let's what go into a little break really quick.
What do you?
All right. Do you actually think that there's like completely indestructible people out there?
No? I don't. There's people that are indestructible, but there's no people that are completely indestructible. Hmm. There's some people who are definitely tougher. I know I remember reading about, I believe it was a rail worker who got like a, what is it? A rail spike through his chest and he put like, you know, spikes in it and was able to hold it together.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, okay, here's the thing. I don't want to give out too much family history, but I had a relative who had some sort of tube attached to a kidney. They decided to rip out the tube. Part of it stayed in there, and what happened is it sort of like calcified around it, pustified, and it just sort of went what do you call it, like celiacs or whenever things like your body sort of rots inside of itself.
Uh-huh.
Septic. It went septic, full-on septic. She had it like that for decades, right? Years. And she was just like constantly had like galls. It was like horrible, man. Like literally the guy who took it out, I think part of it had fused to a main artery and she ended up bleeding out for 45 minutes. Right? Like legit. And she lived. And he's like, I do not know how you live. He said, of all my, like, however long I've been doing medicine, you're the top five for like, I can't believe. After the surgery was done, she was like sitting on her bed Indian style. So you should not be sitting like that. You should be like almost pro. You shouldn't have survived it. Oh so every gosh. Now and then you get somebody who just has that right mix mash and whatever.
Maybe.
I mean, it has to be genes.
Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't have to be. But I'm going to say it is because I don't know any better.
I know there's just like certain injuries that it's really hard to come back from, like athletically. I know
ACLs,
like,
right?
ACLs, it's a probable, like a very good chance of coming back.
Oh.
But the one that it is the
decapitation.
Heel.
Which the heel or the Achilles tendon?
Achilles tendon. Yeah. That's the one that it's like a lot of people. As soon as that happens, it's kind of over. And I think one person that did it, I hope I don't get this wrong, but it was Dominic Wilkins, I think.
Dominic Wilkins?
Yes. And he came back and he actually did better than the year that he got hurt.
Really?
He came back and he's the only one that was able to come back and not only do good. Most people don't do good. They were just like, they go from scoring 20 something points a game and so many rebounds and assists and stuff to just going to like single digits or maybe like sometimes 15, 10. But it's just, I mean, it's scary because you don't know if it's going to happen again, you know? And I'm sure mentally there's that block too. But some people just, and like a lot of people say it was probably just genes. Maybe he was headstronger more than other people are.
Surgery had to have been like top notch too for it to not snap again. So just to clarify, he's an American basketball player. He played the American basketball. His name was Jacques Dominic Wilkins. Man, that is crazy. Can I share a quick story?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So I heard about this golfer who tore a tendon in his arm, right? And apparently it's fairly common. But basically, this is the eerie part, was a description of it. So apparently, whenever a tendon tears, you've seen tendons and steak. And meats probably, right? It's like a thin sort of celly, like kind of clear looking bit attached to kind of a white sort of like stringy flat bit, kind of papery looking. Whenever the white papery bit's the part that snaps, but whenever it does that, the guy said he was reaching down for his golf ball, he felt a pop near his wrist, and he felt the tendon crawl all the way back up to his shoulder, and it's like, no. Might have been his elbow. I don't know. The point is, it's disgusting. You can feel he felt it move inside of him, underneath his skin.
Oh my gosh. That's terrifying.
Oh, it's atrocious, man.
Like one of the most notable ones is Kobe Bryant.
Of the
LA Lakers.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to say Spurs.
He tore his Achilles. And he's one of the notable ones where it's like he was already older. Yeah. And when he tore it, came back and he wasn't the same. I mean, he was already not the same because he had already injuries and stuff like that. He was older.
People don't realize you get a lot of injuries playing basketball. I didn't know that. I'd heard a while ago that like the reason the penalties are so bad for knocking another player down because they're so tall that like the impact could cause a lot more damage to a shorter person. But I guess like it's the jumping around, the running around, just like anything, your body wears out the cartilage mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And then it like puts a lot of strain on specific tendons.
Yeah. And one of the things I remember hearing about a lot was pitchers and how when they throw it hurts them. Like they're not supposed to throw.
Like hard. Yeah. There's something about the cup. It wears out the marrow.
Mm-hmm.
I have an interesting thing about that. The reason a lot of players will start throwing knuckleballs. Now, if you don't know how to throw a knuckleball, basically you just grab it like you're doing a regular pitch. You take your pointer and ring finger, and instead of holding them on top of the ball, you put them behind the ball. And then whenever you throw it, instead of releasing it sort of midway, you let it go a little farther, and then you put all your effort into pushing from behind the ball forward with those two fingers. And what this does is it keeps the ball from spinning and it moves a lot slower. And because apparently to the guy with the bat,
the batter,
yeah, he just sees like a floating ball. A lot of people consider it a trick pitch and they want to ban it. But whenever you throw it that way, you don't need to wind it up as much. In fact, you kind of, I think you lower your shoulder and it's more of an elbow toss and it's a lot more in the fingers. But basically, it can extend your life in the game. If you can't throw high-powered, you know,
fastballs all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I know you knuckleball. Snap it a lot. And yeah. It's like probably that snap over
exactly.
here.
Exactly. And there's no snap. It's all about the technique of a knuckleball. Yeah. Not a lot of people like to use it in general. Only like a few players are ever using it at one time. I think it's been kind of coming up in popularity, but it kind of ebbs and flows. So there's like no real saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was interesting.
Why would they want to have it banned? It's like that's skill.
Yeah, they consider they want that with baseball as a very people like it traditional. For a while, the whole thing about the umpire. Oh, okay. So they found a way. They could what is it in baseball? They basically put up a camera and it has a special little grid that they can change the size of, and it could show the strike zone for each batter.
Yeah.
So whenever they walk up, you see a little grid and it'll like highlight where their strike zone is
and where the ball goes.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So you watch the camera go, it flows through there. If it goes through it, it's a strike. If it goes outside of it, then it's a ball.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people don't like that because they think the umpire should have the call, regardless of whether or not anybody else can see it. And this kind of comes into play with everybody calling BS on the coach recently, or the Saints. There was I don't know exactly what the play was, but everybody was saying like the refs kind of cheated him. Like it was kind of obvious to everyone else how the play looked.
Oh, the football?
Yeah, football.
Yeah, yeah.
And that like the ref was a bad call, but I guess he didn't review the footage. Or he decided it's ultimately, even if the technology is there, it is their call. That's how the rules set. It doesn't matter what did or didn't actually happen. It's their call. It's like the real world and anything in government. It doesn't matter what reality is. It's about what they say. It's
or
like
cops.
It's like about well, it's part kind of the like government. Cops. Yeah.
The it's like it's ultimately it's to yeah, them. It doesn't like, matter what the truth is. The, right
the truth doesn't matter to anything in the official level. At your job, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It matters what your boss thinks you're doing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like screw them all, in my opinion. But to cut back to that, basically the idea that there's techniques that technology is changing, but a lot of what we're seeing is sort of like holdovers from back in the day whenever it was like a lot more old fashioned. But cutting back to that, so what if there are people who are just immune to certain types of damage?
Injuries,
yeah. Maybe they don't have it. It's like you can't break your arm if you don't have bones, right? I know there's an injury in soccer and in general that female athletes get more than men. And it's because whenever they fall, they tear a certain thing in their legs. The reason is because whenever girls fall, they're more likely to put their knees together. And like I think it's like they end up landing on their knees, whereas guys, because of our junk, are more likely to put our legs out when we're falling. And that's actually a better way to fall.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's like, that was pretty interesting. And it makes you wonder, like, maybe there's just other biological, but not like that specific things, reason people don't get hurt. It's like, what if, like, okay, you know allergies, right? Some people are allergic to something, other people aren't. What if there's a bunch of things that we're all allergic to in general, like from like trauma, like what if everybody else is allergic to turpentine and antifreeze, and good old Mike Malloy just wasn't. It's not that he was better. It's that he was like somehow super normal, and we're all weaker than him. And like, what if that's the thing?
Yeah. What if we're all defective and we're just like beings that were evolved to just have all these weaknesses and stuff, and Malone was just one of the ones.
He could have, like, his children would have been like this reascension of the Greek gods, if you would. But they were like, nah, we need cash.
Nah, we need what's 3,000 or whatever?
We need 3,000 buckaroonies.
Get all that into pressure beer that money. Drank back. Yeah,
like literally by the time they were done, just sort of getting back what they put sunk into them.
And then they died.
I think that, yeah. But yeah, sports injuries are serious, man. Oh, man, they're terrifying me. Like, I really would have liked to have gotten a little bit more into sports, but the injuries are just no joke. And you're not going to get, especially because it's a sport and like through school, you're not getting paid for shit. It's for the injuries you take. It's not worth it.
Yeah, that's why.
Fun. It's not as fun.
Well, I know there's a lot of things going around about high school kids going to like different leagues around the world instead of going to the NCAA. Which is the
basketball college version? Basketball. Okay, yeah.
And because in college basketball they don't get paid, and overseas they do.
Interesting.
But the thing is that overseas They get insurance policies. They get coverage.
They're an employee.
Yeah, they're an employee. They're getting paid for it. And meanwhile, in college, if you get hurt and you ruin your whole career, that's your fault.
Yeah, and you're not getting that what is it? What do they call it whenever they give you they let you into school for the sport? Scholarship.
Yeah.
That's gone. Your scholarship's gone.
Yeah.
Your SOL. Shit out of luck.
Yeah, and it's... I mean, that's a really bad system, especially now that it's mandatory that you have to go to, I think you have to go to college basketball for a year in order to go to the NBA. So you can't go straight from high school to the NBA anymore. Mm. Like LeBron. I know Michael Jordan actually went to college, but there's a lot of people that just went straight to the NBA. I think Kobe.
You know, I just say it. And people say, like, well, you can't, you know, there's some legit things that people say about, like, well, if you pay them, you have to pay everyone. And it's like, I could see how that might not work, all these other things. But, and like they say, how do you fix it? It's a very complicated issue. And I think one of the things that's happened is because it's so complicated, people don't want to work on it because nobody's worked on it. In a lot of ways, it's gotten worse and people are talking about it more. And because of that, I think that's why you're seeing a lot of sports sort of losing their viewership.
Yeah.
It's because people are starting to feel uncomfortable watching it. Like they might watch their home team, but they're definitely checking out less stuff and they're not encouraging their kids to get into the stuff as much. They're not, it just doesn't feel like the entertainment how we absorb entertainment has changed so much. And here's the thing to think about. Every time somebody cuts their cord, they tend to lose sports. But a lot of times they'll either just watch it on their phone. Somebody else will tell them the score. And a lot of people just care about the score.
They don't
have to watch the whole game through. So a lot of people, they really only care about the whole game if they're actually at the event. And those are expensive tickets for the experience to go to most games across the board. NHL, or let me just list them as hockey, basketball, football, and soccer, especially in my opinion. I haven't been to any really good soccer fields, admittedly. It's just the seats are uncomfortable. It's like the weather's horrible and the food is so expensive.
Even Whataburger. There's a Whataburger at the AT&T Center.
Oh, yeah.
And it's more expensive than regular Whataburger, which is right outside.
I get it, but it's like now we have more choices for entertainment.
It's also just,
you can watch esports and it's like, oh man, it's like at least, you know, he may not be making what some of these football players are making, but it's a lot more chill. I can see I'm not concerned for his health as much. I know there's a bunch of issues with esports and how like they've, you know, they have their own issues. But it seems like we're working on them because it's a new sport, because it's harder to work on something that's already been out around for like as much time as our traditional sports have, as opposed to esports, which are new and starting off and we could fix them now.
Yeah. And I don't mind that because basketball, to me, I used to love watching basketball and I would watch so many games and I'd watch everyone play. And now it feels like the system is kind of messing up.
They change a lot of rules, like, too, don't they? They've been changing a lot of rules in different sports. Even NASCAR, they did a bunch of rule changes, and it's made it boring.
Yeah, and just recently, I don't know if you heard about this. I don't know if you really watched a lot of basketball stuff.
I don't.
But Anthony Davis, which is a part of the Pelicans, and he's one of the top players, right?
I totally thought of someone else.
And he's the one with the big eyebrow, the unibrow. I don't know if you've seen him. Yeah, okay. he recently announced that he wanted a trade for another team. But there's a whole thing going around with the same thing with Kawhi. He's under contract with players that are under contract that are demanding trades while they're in contract still. And it's like, what's the point of the contract if you're just going to be like, no, I don't want to do the contract, I want to trade. And you're just like, I'm not going to play then. You know, and they, you know, they still get a fine if they leave.
Oh, so you're
against, it's like $65,000 and
against the player. That's how much Michael Malloy's life was worth.
Yeah, but no. But to someone that's making $350 million.
But I think instead of shitting on them, we should be saying we should all be making $360 million.
Yeah, you're right. That's totally right.
But you do raise a good point with the whole contract thing. And I think in general, it seems like our society seems to be bucking at the whole idea of contracts in general.
You're
seeing a lot of this in the music industry. I had heard a little bit about that with the basketball happening and a few other things. I know I heard about some of it with NASCAR. Basically, you put someone under contract, and the thing is, it's sort of a, okay, we'll put them under this crappy contract now, and if they could stick it through, then they can renegotiate after it's done. And people, once they start doing well, they decide, that really doesn't work out for me, and I don't want to renegotiate it because you gave me a bad contract to begin with. I want to totally burn it. And it's like, it's a screwed up situation that they usually give them a bad contract presented first, and that's what they take. It's a shitty situation that people want to break the contract. We're just being dicks all around.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the thing that I noticed. I feel like this is happening because they're having a general erosion of trust for the government and authority figures, because one of the main jobs of the American United States of the Americas government is to enforce contracts. That's one of the main things that the government exists for, is contracts, of saying when you put something down on paper, you do it. It's like enforcing the honor system, the moral code.
Like declarations and stuff like that. That's what
money is. Yeah. How our whole system is set up. The government saying you do what you say, what you did, what you came for. And I think it's because, like, the government would always say, but we get a little excuse. We're a little exempt, you know, and over time, they kind of just kept growing those exemptions, and people are starting to feel that itch. I'm not saying it's a good thing that people are feeling this way. I'm not even going to say, even though it might, I feel like people are starting to buck at the idea. I don't know how things will happen. You're definitely seeing more violent protests. You're definitely seeing people in general talking about how they want the whole system to burn down. That is not a good thing. But neither is us staying under the thumb of the people who write the contracts that screw us over. It's wrong to not keep your word. It's worse to put someone in a situation where they want to break it.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true. Because I know a lot of these players. I feel that if I were to be one of these like great players that want to a trade, they just want to go probably home.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's usually where they want to be traded to. Kawhi, that's where he wants to be traded to. And we sent him to Canada.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so.
There's Canada in basketball?
Yeah, Toronto Raptors.
Wait, and they're NBA? Dude, they're never connected. How is it the National Basketball League if it's actually the International Basketball League? Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Are there other countries that we have basketball teams in?
That's the only one.
That's so crazy. And do we have any football teams from other countries?
I don't know. I don't think so.
That seems weird. Why did they randomly get squeezed in? That's a whole episode right there. I'm curious.
Well, because Toronto probably doesn't have a lot of basketball stuff in Canada because it's just Toronto and...
I understand the idea. My thing is, like, how did they say, okay, well, because like it's like how we have all these world tournaments and we're just playing against ourselves, and then we have an exception for Canada. It's like, were they writing contracts and they forgot, like, oh, wait, Canada is not part of America. Well, it is part of North America. Fuck it.
Yeah, it's America. Same thing. Whatever.
One day, wow.
What if one day Canada and America fuse to create a supernova that blows up the entire universe? And
we're like, we're sorry to be kicking your asses, eh? Mexico jumps in. And like while they're dancing around.
Oh, is that Mexico? Is that Mexico? Like,
yeah. Adding the flavor to it.
Yeah,
making it great.
Mexican flavors.
I really wish we need some more Mexican flavor snow cones. Like, how about a snow cone made with like allspice?
Oh,
yeah, fajita seasoning.
Ew! God!
I mean, you'd eat one with Lucas and pickle juice.
I don't. I eat with Chinese candy.
Same thing.
Whatever.
Chinese candies is Mexican candies.
All right, guys. I think we're going to wrap up this episode. Thank you for listening. If you listen all the way through, tell us what you think about it. Listen to our other podcast. You can catch Rhodes at
Twitter. And my thing is at RODEZM8. Tweet at me.
And you can find me on Instagram at Joe_Re1. And we have an email, biggerthumbsup@gmail.com. So email us. Tell us what you think. We love you. Rhodes loves you especially. He always tells me about it. I'll talk to you later.